Who you got, Jacksonville, Buffalo?
I'm picking Buffalo just because I want to be able to save my Super Bowl. I got one of them, right? Since your Lions let me down. And so the Bills are not playing as well as the Jaguars. And the Jaguars are home, but they've never been noted as having a great home advantage. Even the few times that they sell out, it's still a hard sell over there. So I'm going with the Bills, but Josh Allen's got to have a great game. They've got to run the ball well. Receivers have to step up, and their run defense has to improve. And Trevor Lawrence is playing great. He's playing better over the last 8 games than Josh Allen.
Yeah. Speaking on that, John, what has Liam Cohen done with Trevor Lawrence here in his first year as the head coach? Because, you know, remember his time at Kentucky, obviously his time with the Bucs and what they did with Baker Mayfield. But just in this first year, this is the best season that Trevor Lawrence has had. And we know how highly talented he was coming out of high school, then on the Clemson, and now being in the NFL.
I remember when Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. Will Levis was a sophomore, and he had a great season. And everybody's talking about this kid from Kentucky. He's got a chance to be the first overall pick next year. Well, Cohen went to the Rams, and
we'll get him back. That's a tough screenshot right there.
What? Oh, man, that's my guy. What's wrong with you, man?
We love John.
He's preaching always.
He is, always.
Oh, there he goes.
I apologize for my computer freezing up. I have no clue why or what to do. Wow. So Liam Cohen left Kentucky. Levis was picked in the second round. He was not rated that high. He's been a huge bust for the Titans. And I'll bet you if he were reunited with Jacksonville, say as Trevor Lawrence is backup, and if something happened to Lawrence, that Levis would play really well because Cohen knows what he's doing. He's done it every step of the way. People keep saying Mike Vrabel should be the coach of the year, and some say it should be Mike McDonald. McDonald won 10 games last year, and Vrabel's done a fabulous job against a schedule that was the easiest over the last 25 years. But Cohen, they played the AFC South, played the NFC West, the toughest division. And the AFC South obviously was a whole lot better. Even the Colts finished 8-9. Texans, you know, they're 12-5. So they went against one great division, one vastly improved division. So, and even though the Bears and Ben Johnson have gone from worst to first, my coach of the year would be Liam Cohen, who did a great job with the Jaguars and parlayed that into a head coaching job. And at some point, seems weird saying this, he's going to help Jacksonville get to a Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl, maybe this year, maybe next. But he has done a fabulous job. I can't remember so many coaches deserving of Coach of the Year as we have this season.
Yeah. Well, what about San Francisco at Philadelphia, John?
Oh, I left out on that coach of the year. San Francisco at Philadelphia. Is Philadelphia playing possum? The defense is great, but the offense is suspect. Maybe could Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts turn it on like they had it last year when they won the Super Bowl? I'm picking them at home. They barely beat the Rams in bad weather in the divisional round last year. I think they'll win it. And 49ers have had a tremendous season, despite injuries, despite cap issues that required them to make tough decisions and get rid of good players. Kyle Shanahan's done a fabulous coaching job. But I'm going with the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah. Packers, Bears, John, old NFC North rivalry here in the playoffs, always fun. What are you liking this one?
I love the fact that the weather's going to be bad. I covered a game one time 49ers at the Bears. It was an NFC championship game when it might have been 85 or 86. I can't remember. 49ers still had their dynasty. Bears were won a Super Bowl in 85. But they built a temporary press box on top of the regular press box at Soldier Field. And they put all the AFC media out there. And it was the worst conditions I've ever been in because it was so cold and windy. At the end of the quarters and the halftime, no PR intern wanted to bring the stat sheets to our press box because it would have required them to walk outside. And one of the worst things I remember, you better not have to go to the bathroom. They had a porta toilet at the bottom of our stairs. And a woman covering it got stuck. It was so cold and pulled her skin up when she came back into the press box, and she was not comfortable when she sat. It was the worst conditions I have ever been in as a member of the media. Now the press box, then they redid it. They made it bigger. But it was windy. It was snowing. It was cold. That's what we're going to have on national TV. Both teams won in their stadium. I'm going with the Bears. There just seems to be something special about this team. Caleb Williams makes a lot of big plays, especially when he's off schedule. They got a really good running game with two running backs. Ben Johnson doing it just like he did when he worked for Dan Campbell. And the defense is good. The offense is really good. I think they're going to beat the Packers, who have not been playing all that well. And there's talk that Matt LaFleur, instead of getting an extension, he's got 1 year left, may get his pink slip. And after what happened to John Harbaugh, nothing surprises me anymore.
Wow. Yeah, we should get to John Harbaugh because, my God, if that rookie kicker or if Justin Tucker was still kicking field goals, maybe Harbaugh still has a job, John. Did it come? I mean, was that how thin the line was?
No, there's no way one kick, one game has anything to do with a decision that big that affects an organization that has been stable for 18 years. Now, word is, front office, Eric DeCosta, the GM, he didn't want to fire him. And nobody wanted him gone except Biscotti. Biscotti wanted him to fire his coordinators, and he wouldn't do it. And I'm guessing Harbaugh knew he's got a chance to get any job he wants. It might be good for him to start over somewhere else like Miami or the Giants or the Titans. Everybody's reaching out to John Harbaugh, who's a first-class act. He's an overseer who wants his coordinators to call the plays because he was a special teams coach. I remember 1 year at the Combine, this would have been 2 or 3 years before he was hired. Andy Reid had him come talk to the media every week. He didn't have to. There were no rules back then. Most teams made their coordinators available to the media once a week. And he had Harbaugh coming in there. And at the Combine, I asked him, I said, I'm curious, why did you have your special teams coach come out and talk every week when it wasn't required by the league? And he said, because I think John Harbaugh has a chance to be a really good head coach. And if you're a special teams coach, you don't get the attention that the coordinators do. So I wanted to get him out there in the media so people could see how good he is and the word would get out. Well, the word got out. And when Biscotti hired him, you know, at the time, people are like, whoa, a special teams coach. And it worked out pretty well. What's happening to him happened to Andy Reid. Andy had one bad year. They fired him. And I'm sure every team was lining up. But Chiefs got through to him first. And turned out to be one of the best decisions ever. And whoever gets John Harbaugh, probably going to feel the same way.
You think Harbaugh ends up with the Giants?
Oh, I don't know. Everybody in the New York, New Jersey media is trying to act like that's the best job. Why? Because Jackson Dart looked pretty good as a rookie. Joe Shane, the GM, could be out in a year. Somebody comes in. What if it's somebody that Harbaugh likes? Obviously, they're not going to shove him down his throat. But what if it's a guy that they start having differences? And Harbaugh worked great with Ozzie Newsome. He worked great with Eric DeCosta, who's on the staff under Ozzie. And he doesn't have a big ego. And this is terrible, but John Mara's got cancer. And we don't know what's going to happen with John Mara. What if in a year the owner and the GM are gone? And what state of does that leave you in? I personally think Atlanta's the best job. A bad division. You finish 8-9. You got skill position players. You got a good offensive line. Your pass rush has improved dramatically. You're the third most popular team in town behind Georgia and the Braves, and that's the best. And there's no pressure from the media. And there's no pressure in Baltimore, but Harbaugh knows there certainly is if you go to New York, New Jersey. And his age, he may not want to deal with that. But I think if people ask me what's the best job other than Baltimore, I'll say Atlanta.
You think Stephen Ross got rid of Mike McDaniels so that he could go after Harbaugh?
Oh, boy. It sure looked like as soon as it was out about Harbaugh, and maybe when there were rumors, Stephen Ross reached out. And Ross knows Jim Harbaugh real well because Ross is one of the biggest contributors to Michigan, his beloved Wolverines. But it could be Jim calling and say, hey, bub, he said, if you get a chance to go to the Dolphins, Stephen Ross is great to work for. He'll give you anything you want. And it'll be interesting if he ends up going there because he's not doing any interviews. His agent's handling everything. And because he's not employed, he can start interviewing like crazy next week. And they're going to line up at his door. And I think it'll be much more than money. You know, his philosophy, you play great defense, you run the ball. Of course, you got to have a quarterback. He won a Super Bowl with Flacco. You know, they could have won a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. And he worked well with his GMs the whole time there. No spats publicly. I can't say enough good things about him. But if say the Packers get stomped, and LaFleur has 1 year left on his contract, and their first-year president, Ed Policy, says, you know what, I think we're going to go in another direction. Well, you know what, Matt LaFleur is right up there with Harbaugh.
Yeah. Speaking of Harbaugh, John, the Chargers go to New England, and the last 20-something years you go to New England during the playoffs, you most likely chalk that up as an L, but obviously with Vrabel and Drake May starting their own little, you know, situation there of success in New England, how do you see this game going?
Zay, I'll tell you what, Drake May has played great. He might win the MVP. Matthew Stafford still gets my vote because he played in the toughest division, a much tougher schedule. But this is a chance for the Patriots to show the world. We played the hand we were dealt. And so what? We beat one team that had a winning record. Let's go out there and show the world what we're all about. I don't trust Justin Herbert in the playoffs. I watched the Texans intercept him 4 times last year. 3 years ago, they had a big lead at Jacksonville, and then they blew it, and the Jaguars won. Harbaugh's a great coach. They still really have a bad offensive line because of injuries. I think the Patriots are going to win this game, and I think it's going to be handily.
The New England Patriots. All right. Well, that leaves the Rams and the Carolina Panthers. John, the Rams are going back to Carolina where they lost earlier this year.
Panthers might as well just forfeit to save them from a big embarrassment. You think the Rams are not motivated? They've lost. Everybody thought they were the best, winning the division, and now Seattle's won the division, causing them to drop down, go on the road. They got a lot to prove. They're really good. Stafford's playing great. Good running game. Good defensive line. The secondary is not all that good, but I think they're going to just, as I said to somebody else this week, I said there's 2 words I can think of to describe what I think is going to happen in Charlotte. Blow and out.
So they cover the 10.5.
I think they're going to win by 20.
Wow.
They're going to get all over Bryce Young. Those defensive linemen, they're good across the board. And boy, the Panthers better be able to run the ball because if they put him in harm's way, they're going to crush him.
How good of a job has D'Amico Ryans done this year? I mean, the offense has limitations, obviously. The defense has been unbelievable, best in the league. Where, how do you rate D'Amico Ryan's job this year?
When they were 0-3, I wrote them off. I thought, well, they're not going to make the playoffs this year. They lost those three, those five games this season. They were 3-5, and they had lost their quarterback. So you figure, well, they're done. You're going to get a high draft pick, going to play a third-place schedule. That's good. Colts were running away with the division. Jaguars wouldn't make the playoffs because the Colts were going to win it. And then all of a sudden, Davis Mills comes in, saves their season with a scores 26 in the fourth quarter against Jacksonville. Biggest comeback for the Texans, biggest blown lead for the Jaguars, and the Texans haven't lost since. That was November the 2nd. And both of them, I thought Jacksonville's going down the toilet. They have been great too. And so D'Amico has done a great coaching job. He might get a vote or two, but I don't know how you could vote him over Cohen and Vrabel and Ben Johnson and McDonald, who's, we all think, I think we all do. Seattle and the Rams have the best teams. And but I hope he gets a little bit of love and a lot of respect, because you talk about when the ship seemed to be sinking, you know, he was up there with two paddles, and he's done a magnificent job of keeping this team on the straight and narrow when most of us gave up on it.
Yeah. How would you say C.J. Stroud was this year and going into this game in Pittsburgh? Because obviously everybody on the outside looking in is wondering where that rookie C.J. Stroud is and trying to see that more consistently. But clearly we know with the offensive line and abilities to run the football at times, it's just a whole mess with the offense. Your thoughts on C.J. Stroud?
It's funny because I see a lot of people rate him pretty high and others rate him pretty low, like 15th, 17th, somewhere in there. They don't throw the ball a lot. When they have thrown the ball a lot, he's done well. And he's been only sacked 23 times. The only playoff quarterback sacked fewer is Bo Nix with 22. Now, the pass protection has definitely improved. But he's done a better job of getting rid of the ball, throwing it away. Too often, even his rookie year, he held it, trying to see a receiver down the field, and boom, 12-yard sack. Well, that's not happening anymore. He's throwing it up in the stands when he's out of harm's way. He's playing much smarter. And when it works the middle of the field, between the hash marks, he's the second highest rated quarterback in the league. And to do that, you got to have protection in the pocket. Problem is their running game is mediocre to bad. And the Steelers, I think, will totally shut down their running game. So he faces so many second and longs, third and longs, the worst situation you can put a quarterback in. You know, the best, the league leaders, it's like second and five, second and four. Keeps the defense off balance. Well, there's no off balance against the Texans offense. And in fairness to them, they didn't have their running back, Joe Mixon, all year. They thought he'd be there for training camp. Then he got hurt again, and nobody's seen him. And so they're playing with Woody Marks, a backup. I think Juwan Jordan, who's played the last three games, is hurt, not playing. That means Nick Chubb will play more. And they got a guy, British Brooks, who they list him to 225 is what he was when he's in college. He was 243 in camp. He is a beast. They let him run the ball against the Colts, and he's the leading rusher. I wish they'd let British Brooks run some more, because that guy can do it. They've been using him as a fullback. But I also think Stroud needs to run more. In each last year in the playoffs, I think he rushed for an average of 45 yards in the two games. He hadn't run much this year, especially since his concussion. It kept him out of 3.5 games. But I do wish he'd use his legs, because I think the Steelers are going to shut down that run and they're going to get after him.
John, do you think Joe Mixon's career is over, or do you think he'll come back? I mean, They got Nick Chubb. They got, you know, so the offensive line's no good, but I just want to see.
Sorry, next season he'll be 31. I don't think he'll be back. I think a running back is a big priority for them in the offseason. They pick way too low to get Jeremiah Love, but, man, he's the best back prospect since Bijan Robinson, who's having a great year. You know, if you're going to Atlanta, you got Bijan, you got Drake London, Kyle Pitts, a good offensive line led by Jake Matthews, who's never missed a start, and your pass rush, which was terrible, has improved dramatically. That is a good situation, and you're playing in the NFC South. And even though Arthur Blank was not patient with Raheem Morris, that's the one that surprised me the most. He finishes 8-9 back-to-back season, and they get rid of him. And we think now it's because they hire Matt Ryan. They want him to have control over the GM, and the GM and he were hired the coach. They didn't want to shove a head coach down their throat. Ultimately, it may turn out to be the right thing. But, boy, Bijan playing great. He should get a lot of votes for Offensive Player of the Year. Christian McCaffrey will probably win it, but Bijan Robinson should be right up there.
Well, and Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb's had a good career. He's 30.
Chubb won't be here next year. He signed a one-year deal to come back, and he's helped the young guys like Woody Marks, and he's had a few plays. Problem is, it's hard to judge these running backs because the offensive line is generally bad at run blocking.
Yeah, that's the main culprit is the offensive line.
They need a couple of ass-kicking interior linemen who come in with a nasty attitude. Some of those Indiana guys that Kurt Cignetti has gotten so much out of on an offensive line that averages 23 years of age, they need some guys like that.
So does Texas.
Yeah. But speaking of, John, you called DJ Lagway going to your alma mater, Baylor. How you feel about that?
Well, I'm fired up about it because it's gotten Baylor some positive attention. Yeah, he was really good as a freshman. He replaced Graham Mertz, who's with the Texans now, when he got hurt. And everybody had such high hopes for him last year, but his coach, Billy Napier, gets fired. He's got a lot of nagging injuries. Now he comes here. His dad played here, Derek Lagway, a running back. And people are pumped. Everything had been negative about Baylor. The Mack Rhodes scandal, not firing Dave Aranda, not getting the AD that you wanted. Players bailing like crazy. Your recruiting class. Player 27 at last count in the portal. So at least DJ Lagway, Derek, he is junior, little. I think they're D1 and D2 on their Twitter handles, and people are fired up for him. Last 2 years ago, when he was, let's see, coming off his senior year at Willis, he was top prospect in the country. He was voted Texas High School Player of the Year and presented a huge trophy at halftime of the pregame Kinder Texas Bowl at NRG Stadium in the Gridiron Legends of Texas. We had a new class, and we were going up the elevator to our suite for the start of the game, and I saw the daddy and the son kind of behind everybody. I went up, introduced myself, said Baylor class is 75, blah, 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 good work at Florida. But if something goes wrong over there, Baylor is paying NIL money. Now, Dave Aranda wouldn't do it at first because he thought he didn't need to. Boy, was he wrong. So I told him, and I told his dad, because I'd been told by a friend of mine that knew him really well, they both wanted him to go to Baylor. But Baylor wasn't stepping up with any, you know, money like the others were. And so, you know what, that's come true. Good for him. People in Waco are so fired up to have him. People in Florida almost ran him out of town.
Now they just got to get that defense together. Dave Aranda's defense.
And I'll tell you a list. I saw Jake Spavital, their offensive coordinator, quarterbacks. He did a great job with Robertson, but he coached at Cal. He coached Fernando Mendoza. He coached Davis Webb. He's coached a lot of really good quarterbacks, and maybe that had something to do with Lagway. Plus, I'm sure he got a nice chunk of change.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Zay, you got one more? You want to ask a Rockets question?
Yeah, how them Rockets looking, John? Saw KD hit a game-winning shot against his former team, the Phoenix Suns, the other night. Your thoughts on the Rockets? I know Şengün is still out.
Yes, he did that. But they've losing too many games to bad teams and losing like to Sacramento. They're in Portland. It's weird. Two-game road trip. They go out there. They get beat. They thought they won on a shot at the buzzer by Tari Eason. It was a tad late, so they lost that one. Now they play Portland again tonight. They just, for whatever reason, are not as good against the bad to mediocre teams as they are against the good ones. And they're still loaded with talent. You know, they can overcome almost anything, but they need to get, it looks like, a little confidence back. And that's one reason they got Durant here, because to hit shots at the end. They lost a lot of games last year in the last 2 or 3 minutes, and they said that's one of Durant's specialties, is there's no situation that's too big for him or intimidates him. In that game that he won with that last second three-pointer, that was a perfect example.
All right, John, I got one more for you. Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn couldn't see eye to eye, and Quinn's replacing both coordinators now.
I don't think Dan Quinn had anything to do with that. There was a story that Adam Peters, the GM, who shouldn't be involved in things like this, didn't like Kingsbury's philosophy about throwing the ball. They didn't have a running back, didn't have Terry McLaurin for a big part of the year. The starting quarterback played 4 full games. Last year, Kingsbury helps a rookie quarterback and Quinn go to the NFC Championship game. He turned down some interviews. I think he'll be better off, because Quinn better be good next year or he'll be out. And with all these openings, he's going to interview for a couple of head coaching jobs, but I could see him as a coordinator for a team with a quarterback with a lot of potential, like, say, Cam Ward. And so I think they did Cliff a favor, and I hope he gets another chance to be a head coach.
John, great stuff as always. We love it. We love the Friday football conversation. Thanks so much. Let's do it again next week.
Let's do it again, guys. Thank you very much, and enjoy this great football weekend.
Same to you.
You too, John. Appreciate it.
There he is, the general. We call him Mad Dog McClain. He's always bringing the opinions, giving you the facts, giving you the great stories.
Yeah, I'll leave John alone, man. Talking about he needs to move his router closer.
Yeah, that's how you know it's really him.
Is when there's 50 years in the game, y'all. 50 years in the game. OG. You know what I'm saying?
OG for sure. That's I love McClain. Yeah. He is not giving an inch though on the Texans.
Oh, hey.
Like, I mean, the Jaguars have won 8 in a row. The Texans have won 9 in a row. And, you know, the Jaguars are one game ahead of the Texans in terms of their records at the end of the year. You know, anyway, I'm still riding with these Texans. Come on.
Yeah, it's going to be a cold one, you know. I really admire what Aaron Rodgers has done this year. I wish I could have asked John about that, but we asked him enough questions.
Well, we can ask him about it next week, because we'll have the Texans and the Steelers to talk about.
But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Steelers fans, they were skeptical, as they should be. We saw how it went in New York. Aaron Rodgers is a very interesting character. He could rub people the wrong way very easily. So for him, at 42 years old, and the Mike Tomlin thing, I didn't know how that would work, because both are very polarizing, you know, just figures. And you can see how it could not work if they butted heads. But that's been the opposite. Like, they've both embraced each other, and Rodgers, he's tapped into everything Pittsburgh. Everything. Yeah. I don't know if he's getting fries on his sub, but he's acting like it. He's acting like he's one of them. He's acting like, even though he's not in the same era as a Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw, they're embracing them too. They're embracing them, boy. And it's good for Rodgers, man. I think it's a big reason why that they're in the playoffs, because just no distractions, no BS behind
Pat McAfee, none of that. Now he gets DJ Metcalf back.
Yeah, he's been the only distraction.
Yeah, and that's a big – yeah. That guy's a game changer, so that's good. You want to beat a team at its best, so the Texans will have to defend DK Metcalf. But Aaron Rodgers, he can't move, man. And Al Shazier's coming for him. Will Anderson's coming for him. It'll be fun. All right, let's get a couple mentions in here. Hey, it's 2026. How about we get a little healthier, folks? You know, and let's do it the human way. Human with two N's. You know, the science-backed, award-winning research done at the University of Texas Health Science Center. And they're, you know, I've joked that I collect supplements. I could tell you about every supplement that's come out the last, you know, 5-10 years. But what I love about the human supplements are they take it to the next level. Like the cardiovascular health daily. I'm going to show you the three supplements that I take every day, plus the Super Beats Heart Chews. But the cardiovascular health daily, this is helping you with blood flow and blood pressure. You know, as we get older, these are things that we have to be concerned about because those things can lead to heart attack. Metabolic health daily, this is making sure that your blood sugar is healthy, you know, so that you're not getting adult onset diabetes. It's helping you with some weight management. You're going to take it with your biggest meal of the day because it's probably going to curb your hunger a little bit. And then the cholesterol health daily. This isn't just like fish oil pills. This is to, you know, make sure you're getting, accentuating the healthy cholesterol in our bodies that we need. And so you go to human with two N's. .com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU and you're going to get 20% off your first order. And I say in 2026, let's go big, because guess what? There's a 90-day money back guarantee. So you got this Super Beats Heart Chews, which also, you know, the beet based products of human are the number one recommended by cardiologists. The Super Beats Heart Chews are going to help you regulate blood pressure 2 times more effectively than just, you know, diet and exercise alone. The Super Beats Heart Chews are the go-to. Taste great. Awesome. Every day. And the turmeric chews, which help with inflammation. You know, when we go work out, the pain comes from the inflammation. So those turmeric chews are going to help to minimize that. And I take the Super Beats sports powder. That's, you know, about 30 minutes before I go out to work out or go play tennis or pickle or whatever. Get the Super Beats, you know, if you're active, get the Super Beats sports powder as well. Again, 90-day money back guarantee. Take care of yourself in 2026. Let's do this. Go to humanwith2ns.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU. Because I do feel better. And the key is the no brain fog. Like, that is everything to me. So you take the metabolic, cardiovascular, and cholesterol health daily, the Super Beats Heart Chews, turmeric chews, you're going to feel great. All right. Hey, for my guys who are snoring, take advantage of this great partnership we have with Texas Sports Unfiltered and the Sleep Cycle Center of Austin, locations in Lakeway and the Arboretum. We're fortunate to not only have the Sleep Cycle Center in Austin, but Dr. Chad Denman, who's dedicated his life to treating sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you sleep, because it killed his own father at the age of 60. He is passionate about making sure that you are safe and sound and not prone to, you know, serious health risk because of sleep apnea. All you have to do is go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. They're going to take $100 off your sleep study. The sleep study is going to tell Dr. Chad everything, and he's got the best technology. and the best treatment options. From an oral appliance like I have, a mouth guard that holds my lower jaw open while I sleep, to, you know, all the way to surgery. But you need to get that information. Always make informed decisions. Just go to sleepcyclecenters.com and tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And hey, Cover 3, you got another big game tonight. I know it was packed at Cover 3 Anderson last night for the Miami-Ole Miss game. But great vibe, great food. You know, if you're looking for a fun place to hang out with friends to watch Indiana and Oregon tonight, head over to Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock, because the motto is right there. You see it on the screen: dining, spirits, and sports. And the reason I say it's dining is because it's high-end food. Like the ruby trout with the pancetta bacon, you know, that's high-end food. The bone-in ribeye. Yeah, they have the Chop House burger that'll blow your doors off. Texas Monthly calls it one of the best burgers in the state of Texas. The Sean Adams prime rib sandwich, the brick chicken and mac and cheese. But it's high-end food without the high-end prices. Heck, you go in for happy hour, 3:30 to 6:30, and you've got the $7 social hour menu, which has the firecracker shrimp, the bacon deviled eggs. I mean, it's just, I love the food at Cover 3. I love the vibe. It's, you know, a great place to hang out with friends, great service, great food, and I get to watch the big game or my favorite team. Cover 3 Anderson, Cover 3 Round Rock, and of course, our man Tom McKay is ready for you. He's going to bring you the best price on big screens. When you're ready, he's there. Just call 255-8678. Tom and his crew, they're going to bring everything to you and make it so simple. You don't need to go shopping around, lugging TVs around town, punching holes in your drywall. Just call 255-8678. Tom's put big screens into three different houses for me in 30 years in Austin. He's the best. He's hilarious. And he's the expert. And he knows you have better things to do. So give him a call, 255-8678. All right, Zay. We mentioned Bo Barnes. Probably, not going to sit around forever. Well, he's visiting Kentucky. So, if Texas wants to reel him back in, they probably need to do it pretty quickly. But as we mentioned, Texas has visits going on with linebackers. You know, Rasheem Biles from Pitt, Justin Cryer from Florida State, and Cal Uluave, or Cade Uluave from Cal. And so stay tuned on that front. The portal continues. Texas lands its first commitment from an offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman, developmental guy, Dylan Sorkowski, who, it's all about how you package it, right, Zay?
Hell yeah.
If you say he started six games in 2025 and he gave up one sack, you're like, okay, played 444 snaps. But then you find out he started the first five games of the year, got benched, came off the bench, then started the next game, then came off the bench the last three games. But look, he's a redshirt freshman. He played on the defensive line his redshirt freshman year in four games. Oregon State was 2-10, as Zay pointed out. That's a... You want to find the good players on the bad teams. And it's Kyle Flood, you know, sees Dylan, obviously, as a developmental player. 6'4", 334, about the same dimensions as Nate Kibble. But so Texas does have a commitment from an offensive lineman. They have another visit going on with Mike Bennett, a Yale offensive lineman. A little different than the experience of a Andrew Sprague or a Jake Guarnera, the two Michigan offensive linemen who took visits right away when the portal opened. but have decided to stay at Michigan, not because of anything they experienced at Texas, but because Kyle Whittingham convinced them that that program was going to get its stuff together. Those two offensive linemen were vocal about not liking the direction of the Michigan program under Jerome Moore and all the distractions and lack of attention to detail, blah, blah, blah. I do think Texas thought they were going to land those two players and be done with the offensive line, or then bring in a developmental guy. And then you tell Connor Robertson, hey, we want you back. We need you at center. That's in limbo still too. So we're heading into the second week of the portal, and now it's crunch time. Yeah. And as Dave and some of the others have pointed out, Sam Levitt, the quarterback at
Arizona State,
who gave Texas fits, is getting love from Miami.
That fits.
That would be a great landing spot for Sam Levitt, and a great addition for Miami. Lane Kiffin is playing footsie, trying to play footsie with Sam Levitt. Lane was hoping he'd get Hoosier Trinidaddy Chambliss to come down to LSU, but Hoosier Trinidaddy Chambliss had his waiver denied by the NCAA. He will appeal it and try to get another year of eligibility. I think he should just go pro. But he also
not D1.
Not a lot, but he's got so many starts winning championships at D2. Remember, okay, this is not a good example, but I mean, Kurt Warner played D2 at, right? Northern Iowa. I mean, Carson Wentz, that's not a great example, but
I mean, before he got hurt, yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see, but man, Sam Levitt to Miami. Ooh, that'd be something for old Mario Cristobal. What year is Mark Fletcher?
I want to say he's a senior, but
let's see.
That might not be right. No, junior.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I'm going to the league. So,
yeah.
I'm gone. If I'm Mark Fletcher, I'm gone. I'm out of here. I'm not coming back. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just because the average life that you get as a running back in the league, you know, they don't like you when you hit 27. So if you're Fletcher, yeah, you got to take advantage of what's going on. That dude's good.
Yeah.
He's tough, man.
He is.
They're just.
He's a dog.
And then they were giving it to Taylor, too, last night. Or Brown, I mean. He's good.
Like, yeah.
Good number two back. Yeah, they just tired them old Miss Rebels out.
Yeah, that was pitiful. They couldn't – Ole Miss could get nothing going offensively in the first quarter. Nothing. Let's see here. First quarter, Ole Miss had 4 carries for minus 9 yards. They had seven plays. 7 plays in the first quarter. Miami had the ball 12 minutes in the first quarter. And then Miami had it 10 minutes. They had it at halftime. Ole Miss had the ball 7 of the 30 minutes. Like, I looked over at my lovely wife and I said, this is going to be a disaster for Ole Miss because their defense is going to be gassed. And what did you think of when I thought they should have been blitzing late because they couldn't get there with 4. Those guys were exhausted.
Yeah.
You had to sell out. You're going to have to risk.
Especially knowing that Carson Beck, these last few weeks, he's utilized his legs probably more than he ever has in his career. Like, there's just been moments where they'll run him on read option plays. You know, he'll get about 4 or 5 yards on 3rd and 8. Then on 4th and 2, behind that thick ass on the line, they just give it to Fletcher or Brown. Then they get that yardage. And the clock just ticks and ticks. And they walk up to the line. Ain't nobody in a hurry. That's just smart football, in my opinion. Really smart football. But
all right, we got a lot of picks to make. So I will turn it over to the right call.
Yeah, we got to zoom through this. But for all that, though, shout out to Covert BK, family-owned and operated. It is the weekend, and if you need a new vehicle, look no further than Covert BK. 7 different brands to choose from: GMC, Cadillac, Ram, Buick, Jeep, Dodge, and Chrysler. We love our Buick Encore GX that we got from Covert BK. And hey, you'll love the car that you purchase too. So if you want to check out their latest specials, go to covertbk.com and do that. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Chip, before the picks, we got to get to some basketball that's going to be happening over the weekend. You're muted, by the way. Texas basketball, men's basketball. They got Alabama tomorrow, 7 o'clock. It's probably going to get ugly again. It's probably going to get ugly. You know what I'm saying? We saw Sean Miller, he sent a message, that press conference. We got to start playing, guys. I'll just play hard. Screw everything else. Screw the scheme. Screw the scouting report. I just want guys to go out there and try, is what Sean Miller is saying. Give an effort. So we'll see that in this game against Nate Oates and a really good Alabama team that loves to shoot the three. But Baron Filon is a problem. Aiden Holloway is a problem. Both of those guys are combining for like 40 points a game, and they have the ultimate green light. So I'm sure Nate Oates has been practicing a lot of on-ball screen stuff, where they're sending their bigs to go set that high ball screen for Filon and Holloway. And those guys, they're going to let it rip tomorrow until Sean Miller and Texas could prove that they can stop it. They didn't stop it against Josh Hubbard. They didn't stop it against Jacoby Gillespie. I doubt if they stop it tomorrow against LeBaron Filon and Aiden Holloway. Their only hope is that LeBaron Filon gets cramps like he did in the last game they played. He got like full body cramps against Vanderbilt the other night. And I think that was a big reason why Vanderbilt, who's good and Texas plays next week, got the win. But if LeBaron Filon has been getting his electrolytes in, it might be a long day for Texas men's basketball tomorrow.
Yeah.
On the girls' side, oh, you got anything for that?
No, I was just going to go to the women pounding Auburn.
Yeah, that was rough.
This is Carlton, your girl. She got off to a great start and played great.
You're going to need her in March, man. I get it. Sometimes Vic gets really upset when his girls aren't playing up to the standard and not doing what he asks of them. But don't put her in the doghouse, Vic. I get Ashton Judd is back. You want Ashton Judd to get more reps due to all the time that she missed, you know, earlier in the year. But Justice Carlton is just a star in the making. You're going to need her when March comes around. They got Kim Mulkey and LSU on Sunday, 2 o'clock in Baton Rouge. That's going to be fun. That's going to be fun. Your girl, Fuwali, she could ball. Kim Mulkey is finally giving the ball to her and letting her do her thing with it instead of trying to control her so much. She did that with Haley Van Lith in Van Lith's only year at LSU. There's just too much control. There's certain players, you just got to give them the rock and let go. Like Pop said it all the time with Ginobili. Pop had to completely change his coaching philosophy when Manu came on the team, and it benefited the Spurs. You got to do that with some players. Fluwali's one of those players. Flajay Johnson's still a problem. Michaela Williams is really good. This is a really big test for Texas women. And even though LSU's played a really weak schedule and they've lost both of their ranked opponent games against Kentucky and Vanderbilt, I think with what I saw yesterday where they played Georgia and putting the ball in Fluwali's hands more, I think Kim Mulkey's starting to realize how her girls need to play if they want to make a run in March. And I think Texas is going to see that firsthand on Sunday. Should be a fun basketball weekend with all the great football we got going on for the next 4 days.
Woo!
Yeah, big sports weekend. I ain't doing the damn thing. Don't call me. Don't tell me to go out. My wife, she got to go to brunch or do anything like that. That ain't happening. Sorry, mom and dad, don't call me. I love y'all. I'll see y'all soon. But this weekend, I ain't leaving the couch. I refuse to leave the couch. That's not happening. Can't do it.
All right, you ready to make some picks?
Let's do it.
All right. I think we both said we have Indiana minus 3.5 tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, I just think Indiana's defense, man, we don't talk enough about that damn defense. They just clamp down on the run. And look, Tech played good defense. They tried to hold up. Tech's offense was terrible. I thought Baron Morton was off in that game. I don't think Fernando Mendoza will be off for an entire game. So I'm going with the Hoosiers.
Yep, same.
Okay, all right. NFL, first playoff game, Rams, Carolina. The Carolina Panthers are home dogs by 10.5.
God, that's high.
I am taking the Carolina Panthers to cover. I think the Rams win, but I bet they get a pick. They might get a pick or two off of old Matt Stafford. What say you?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Panthers also. Rams win. I don't know where Davante Adams is with his hamstring injury. I don't know. Did he play last week? I don't remember. Most likely he didn't, because they didn't need last week's game. That would be a dumb risk. But if he's back and healthy, ready to go, I would have picked the Rams to cover, but I think that's just kind of up in the air. I think Puka Nacua is the best receiver on that team, which is saying a lot, because Davante Adams, he's lost a couple of steps, but he's still a gold jacket guy. So I think they're going to get some revenge on the Rams or on Carolina in this game, but I still think it's the playoffs, and Carolina, they're prideful. They might lose by 9.
All right. Next, Chicago and Green Bay. They're playing at Soldier Field. You know what? I'm riding with the Bears, man.
They're plus Bears.
Plus 1.5 at home. I think Caleb Williams and Kyle Manungai and those tight ends, I think they get it done. Give me the Bears plus 1.5.
This is a spite pick for me, because I think this is a pick 'em. At the end of the day, I have been very confused with how Matthew Golden's been utilized this season with Green Bay, for him being a number one pick or being the first round pick. They just don't give him reps. It's odd. And like, there's been credible people around the NFL, like Pat Surtain II, and I heard Steve Smith Sr. talking about it when they break down Matthew Golden's film. Pat Surtain II's like, yo, this guy, he's got some stuff. He just don't get reps. So Green Bay, that's ridiculous. Shout out to Baron Sorrell, who got his first start last weekend. He showed out. So kudos to him, but I'm going with the Bears.
Okay. This is making me nervous, because you and I are agreeing. All right. Jacksonville. Well, we're both usually not great. We full disclaimer.
We're not great with this.
Okay, Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a home dog. They've won 8 games in a row. They won 8 games in a row, and they're a home dog to Buffalo. I'm taking the Jaguars plus 1.5. What say you?
I can't go against Josh Steinfeld. Haley Steinfeld. I can't go against my guy. You've seen Sinners. I can't go against my guy, man. He's the better quarterback. This whole Liam Cohen thing's been cute. Trevor Lawrence thing's been cute. They gave him the iced out grill, but I got to go with Josh Allen, man, this time of the year. Come on. If not now, then when? No Mahomes, no Lamar, no Burrow. Come on, Josh Allen. This is supposed to be the year, bro. Time to make a run.
Okay. All right. The 49ers at the Philadelphia Eagles. 49ers plus six, please. What say you?
Yeah, same. I don't really understand why this is so high. I get that the 49ers look like crap against the Seahawks for the division and that number one overall spot, but it's not like the Eagles have been great. So, yeah, it's going to be cold as hell, but I think San Francisco wins this game, not only covers. So give me San Fran.
Okay. All right. The Chargers at New England. 3.5. That hook kills me. I'm going to go with the Chargers plus 3.5.
Yeah, that's what's tough. I'm going to go with New England. I'm going to go, I think, Justin Herbert in the playoffs. He's got to show me something before I could have a lot of faith in him. And I know he's not a Cali boy. He just looks like one. And I know he's from Oregon, went to Oregon. But that he just gives me the vibe like I don't like cold very much. So I think him, Hardball, they're going to have a fight. But I think New England, they got some cooking. And I think the Chargers, they're going to see what that is.
All right. And finally, my Houston Texans -3 at Pittsburgh. Give me the Texans. I think this could be a 3-point game, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, give me Rodgers. Oh. Rodgers, Tomlin, getting the ball in his hands quick. You know how Rodgers is so dramatic. He's one of the most dramatic quarterbacks ever, man. The way he does play action and stuff like that, I hate him and love him at the same time. And again, I respect how he's completely just changed his image and as locked in as you can be as the Steelers quarterback. You got to have a blue-collar feel about you. And coming in, it didn't look like he had that, but somehow now he has it. I guess it was not talking to McAfee or just putting your head down and working. Pittsburgh way, blue-collar as hell. So I respect that. I respect not having the Steelers force themselves to adjust to him. No. We've been a solid, respectable franchise way before you even got here. If you want to be here, you got to do it the Steelers way. He has, and I think the Texans, even though that defense is good, I'm going to take Pittsburgh. He's going to be rocking at Heinz Field.
All right. Well, let's bring in the fellas. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Patrick and Matt. Matt, I thought that was such a great game last night. I looked at my wife at halftime. I said, my God, Ole Miss's defense has been on the field forever. Yeah. I mean, and then I said to Zay, I thought Golden should have brought blitz pressure on that final drive because those four that he was rushing were dead. They're gassed. So Beck had all kinds of time back there.
Yeah. Oh,
man. And they should have called interference on the Hail Mary, but we know they don't do that.
Yeah. You know, I don't disagree with that. I completely agree with your pressure idea because they couldn't get anything going all night up front. They were getting dominated by that Miami offensive line, and they needed help, and they kept rushing three and dropping eight on third down, and it wasn't working, and they were just grinding and grinding and grinding, and eventually it just kind of, you know, bit them in the end, and they couldn't do it. I really thought that maybe they should have utilized those timeouts a little bit sooner, but I get you got to use one, you got to leave one for the last drive, but man, gosh, it was brutal, man. That's probably as close as we're ever going to get. But
no, come on, man.
It was worth it, you know?
Oh, man.
Hey, We'll let y'all have a great show. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you Monday.